This episode of Love to Sew is brought to you by Spoonflower. Spoonflower empowers individuals to create, print, and sell their own artwork on fabric, wallpaper, and gift wrap.
The Spoonflower community has over 4 million creative individuals who use their own designs and the Spoonflower marketplace to make curtains, quilts, clothing, accessories, furniture, and so much more.
Spoonflower's new Quick Sew Project Book launches the same day this episode comes out. It's all about turning your fabric scraps into fun, creative projects. Now available at spoonflower.com.
And now on to the show. Hello and welcome. I'm Helen.
And I'm Caroline.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
No way, we do that?
Yeah, every time.
Today we're talking about sewing with knits. We both love comfy tees, cozy sweaters, and leggings, and it can be really satisfying to be able to sew these basic wardrobe items. We're going to cover the different fabrics, tools, and techniques you need to be successful sewing knits.
Getting into the nitty gritty, you might say.
Oh yeah. Nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Really?
The nitty gritty. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Helen.
How are you? You just looked over your shoulder like you saw a ghost.
I thought I heard Sam. I was like, what is Sam doing out of his room?
I know, we make him sit in his room while we record.
Oh, I'm good. I'm a little tired this morning, yeah. But I'm very good.
Good.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm great. The sun came out. It's been a good week.
I know, there's like a beam of light shining behind your head. It's quite lovely.
I'm like an angel.
Oh yeah, it's the morning. We're doing well. I have my coffee.
This is the first
pup sleeping next to me.
First recording in a little while because I went away for a while and now we're back.
Yeah. So if we sound a little rusty, that's why. It's been like a month since our last recording.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a big month.
It has. We did something really exciting. We did a workshop together at the Blackbird Studio.
Yeah, we did.
The first official workshop, Blackbird.
Yeah, I guess it was very exciting. It was like sort of official.
It was official, okay?
Okay,
don't take this away from me. It was our friends and family members taking a Blackwood cardigan workshop because we wanted to try out the space, see how it would work. And I wanted to try out teaching. I've never taught a class before. I've taught one-on-one, but never a full class. So it was an experiment for all parties involved and it went really well.
Yeah, it was so exciting to see that happen and come to life because like workshops have been on my mind for years and years. Basically, since I started my business, I had this vision of one day doing workshops and having a, you know, the type of space where I could host workshops and have more of a community element to my business. So being able to invite people into the studio and teach a class and have it work out, you know, it wasn't a total bomb. It was really fun. I think everyone had a good time. And exhausting, though.
It was tiring. I expected it to be tiring, but by the end of it, I like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I just collapsed. I think we went to bed at like 7 then.
I know. I mean, and I was thinking about it afterwards, like how the energy kind of dipped around 3 p.m., which is normal. I mean, we were going from like 10 to 5. If you do a full workday like that, you always get that like 2 or 3 p.m. slump where you like really mm-hmm. want to take a nap at your desk. So of course that's going to happen in a sewing workshop too. So I think next time we do a class, we're going to have to think about a way to like perk people up around that time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. We need some jumping gummy jacks. Bears or something. Oh, or a healthy alternative, like jumping jacks.
It was really fun, though.
But Sam and Shay took the class with us, and they did so well.
They did so well.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And your friend Cam also took the class, and she'd never sewn a stitch in her life.
Yeah.
And she did amazing.
Yeah, she did. I was really proud of all of our friends who came out. And yeah. It was really fun to have them experience our first class. I felt very supported and very like encouraged throughout the whole process.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just a really fun experience.
It was. And I think it really prepped us for this episode because we're going to be talking about sewing with knits today. And we had all different machines in the class and we were working with knits and we had people who'd never sewn before, and we had to explain all sorts of things to them about knits that we probably didn't even realize we were going to have to explain. So that was really good preparation for this episode. We realized that there's a lot of information you need to impart to people about knit fabrics.
Yes, you're totally right. So if you are local to Vancouver, or even if you're not necessarily local to Vancouver, but you're interested in hearing about upcoming workshops or events, I have a special newsletter just for people interested in hearing about those things. So I'm going to pop a link in the show notes for you guys. Please sign up, and that's where you're going to get all the updates first.
We have a lot of exciting things coming.
Yes. So Helen.
Yeah.
Today is a pretty exciting day because you get to talk about your new pattern. Can you fill our listeners in?
Oh my gosh. I'm so pumped. The new pattern dropped yesterday. It's called the Elliot sweater. She's a beautiful raglan sweater design with kind of a loose, chunky turtleneck that's just so perfect for fall and winter. I have been living in my samples. I mean, as always happens with the patterns. But I think it's really going to be such a fun and quick sew for fall and winter, something that you can just inject into your wardrobe right away, start wearing all the time. It has a few different views. There's a longer view that has a nice split hem and a little side slit, a bit of a high-low. It looks really cute over leggings, like the Avery leggings, or over skinny jeans. And then there's a cropped version that looks really nice with those like high-waisted culottes or jeans that you might have made during the summertime, like your Landers or your Persephone's, throw a little crop turtleneck on top. So cute. And then finally, it has a t-shirt view as well. So you can just do a simple neckband and it becomes this great everyday raglan sleeve tee.
I'm so excited about this pattern, as I am with all your patterns, but Elliot is especially really timely, I think. It's perfect for the fall winter sewing. And I mean, I'm just really excited to see all the versions pop up.
Me too. Oh my gosh. It's always such an exciting time. So please go and check out the Elliot sweater on my website, helenscloset.ca, or on Instagram just to see what I've been up to. Let me know what you think. I can't wait for you guys to try it.
Yay. And Elliot's on sale for the next week, right?
It's on sale this week. So when this episode comes out, I think it's going to be on sale from the 8th. And 20% off for this launch week. So get it now if you're interested.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's always like nerve-wracking / really exciting to sort of release your little baby out into the world.
I know. It's like what Karen was saying when she was like, I'm going to give birth again and I hope people think it's a cute baby.
Yeah. It's a cute baby.
Thank you. I'm wearing it right now in your cloud sweater knit.
I know. So we're going to get some sweater knits at Blackbird.
Yeah, you are.
On Friday the 12th. So look out for that. We've got a few that are going to be perfect for the Elliot.
So you can grab Elliot. You can wait until Friday, grab your fabric and get going.
Yep.
But no pressure.
No pressure, though.
Okay, what about feedback and stuff?
Okay, so I had this idea a couple of weeks ago because feedback has been piling up. We've been getting some amazing emails, amazing comments and DMs on Instagram. And I was just feeling like we're not getting to all of it. We just don't have the time to get to all of this amazing feedback that we're getting. So we're going to have a special episode where we're going to cover a bunch of feedback, some questions that have come up, and just kind of have like a catch-up episode. It's going to be really fun, just the two of us. And is that next week?
Yep, that's next week.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I'm excited. It's so nice to be able to, like you said, catch up, because then we'll have a bit of a clean slate moving forward. And we never want to leave any of your comments or questions unread. Like, we wish we could read everything on the air. So this is going to give us a chance to catch up.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So we're not going to cover any feedback in today's episode. We have so much to cover with Sewing with Knits. So we're going to save that for next week. Look out for that. We're really excited. And maybe we'll do an episode like that, like every 6 months or something.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Perfect.
Okay, the one question that we wanted to bring to the table today is from Jennifer. She asks, can you touch on how you would cut and utilize a yummy, cozy sweater knit fabric? What patterns might be the best choices, and specifically how to finish off the hems so they don't look too raw or too chunky? I don't have a serger, so this may be the incentive to finally buy one.
Ooh, this is such a good question, and it kind of inspired this week's episode, right? Mm-hmm. So we're really excited to dive into Sewing with Knits and cover all things related to knit fabrics, finishing seams, and how to get professional results. So thank you, Jennifer, for writing in your question. And you guys can ask a question if you want. Go to lovetosewpodcast.com/question, submit it there, and we read all of those and we try to get to as many as we can on the show.
Yeah. So I wanted to start off the knit discussion with a few like myths about sewing with knits.
Let's bust some myths.
I really only have two, but
okay, hit
two
me.
Big myths about sewing with knits.
Hit me.
First one, knits are hard to sew.
Nope.
It's true. They're not. They're really easy to sew. They're actually one of the easier things to make, I think. Like, if you're a beginner sewist and you've just sewn maybe a tote bag or even just a few lines on your sewing machine, as long as your machine can do a zigzag stitch, you can sew a t-shirt. And it's actually a very approachable project for a beginner.
And quick, too. It's satisfying because you can complete a t-shirt in a few hours and then you have a garment that you're going to really want to wear because it's a t-shirt. It's like a hug.
Yeah. And right? Worst comes to worst, if it's a little janky, you wear it as a pajama top, right?
Totally. We'll get to that later.
Okay. And the other myth that I want to bust right off the gate, right off the gate.
You got it.
Is that you need a special sewing machine.
Nope.
You do not need a special sewing machine. Like I said, as long as your machine can do a zigzag stitch, and most machines can, then you're good. And you don't need a serger or an overlocker. I know Jennifer was asking about that in her question. It's obviously really nice to have a serger or overlocker, but it's not necessary for sewing with knits at all.
Yeah, you didn't have one for the longest time and No. You were sewing tons of knits.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So just for the sake of clarity, we want to mention that sergers and overlocks are the same thing to us. Those terms are pretty interchangeable. So we might use one or the other during this episode. But
or different countries use one or the other. Mm-hmm. So we'll say serger, you might say overlocker where you're from. It's all the same thing. It's that scary machine.
With the four threads.
With the four, three or four threads. Yeah, that goes fast and cuts and does fancy things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to start off talking about getting yourself set up to sew. You want to set yourself up for success. So we'll go through the different elements that you sort of need to figure out before you get into sewing with knits.
Mm-hmm. The first thing to think about is your thread. You don't need to do anything special. I just use the same polyester Gutermann or Mettler thread that I use with my woven projects. The one special thing that you might want to try is a woolly nylon thread for your serger or your overlocker. You can put this thread in the loopers, which are the ones that make the loops along the edge. And that's going to give you a little bit of extra stretch. The woolly nylon thread just stretches a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So needles, right? You have your thread. We need some needles. This is an interesting point. Universal needles are supposed to switch between knits and wovens. I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that either. I was Googling how to sew with knits, as I do when I'm prepping for episodes. I want to get lots of information from lots of different sources. And I read this a few places and it makes sense. That's why they're called universal needles. They're supposed to switch between both. I always switch to a ballpoint needle personally because I do find that that works well on my machine.
Mm-hmm.
And a ballpoint needle just has a little bit of a rounded tip on it. So instead of being really, really pointy, it's got a ball point, and that stops the needle from tearing the spandex fabrics in the knit, and as a result will prevent you from getting skipped stitches when you start sewing with your knit. If it's your first time sewing with knits, you might notice that there's some stitches that just aren't actually going through the fabric.
Yeah, it's not even just the spandex that it's ripping. It's basically just the fiber. So if you're using just a regular needle that's really sharp, when you're sewing, every time your needle goes in, you're risking that it's going to make a hole by just cutting the fiber right in half. And then that's going to create a hole that's going to get bigger and bigger. And when you stretch those seams, you're going to get holes. So when you're using a ballpoint needle, it's pushing the fiber to the side. So it's not ripping through them. It's just kind of making space for the needle as it goes down in a gentler way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're avoiding getting holes.
Yeah. And ballpoint needles are sometimes called jersey needles.
Yes.
So there's two different names for them. And they do come in different sizes, the same way that a universal needle comes in different sizes. So you can use a smaller needle for finer knits, and you can use a chunkier needle for chunkier knits.
Yeah. And you might also come across stretch needles. So needles that are labeled stretch. And those ones are actually designed for spandex or elastane fabric. So fabrics that have a high spandex content in them, sometimes referred to as lycra as well. And you can try these needles for maybe swimsuits or sewing on elastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they would work the same way for just sewing like jersey or knit fabrics.
I think they probably can. I personally haven't used a stretch needle. I tend to use my ballpoint needle for my elastics and my lycras as well.
Yeah.
So I think you do have to experiment because every machine is different. We learned this in our class. We had 8 different sewing machines in the class. It was quite an experience. Lots of different lots of different troubleshooting. Everyone was having different issues, especially with knits and pulling fabric more waves than others or skip stitches, whatever it is. So yeah, it's really important just to get to know your machine and what works for you.
We also wanted to touch on twin needles today. I love using a twin needle to hem my knit projects. I think that they're really easy to use. So if you can do a zigzag stitch on your machine, you can use a twin needle. And it kind of replicates the finish of a cover stitch. So there's 2 lines of stitches on the right side of the fabric. And on the back side, the bobbin thread is basically zigzagging back and forth.
Yeah. And I, for the longest time, thought that my machine couldn't handle a twin needle because it didn't have like a twin needle setting, or like, I just didn't realize that because it could do a zigzag, it could also accommodate a twin needle. I was like, where are those 2 needles going to go? But it totally works on a machine as long as you can stick it on there and you have, like you said, the space
yeah.
for the zigzag.
Yeah. And you also need to have 2 places threads to put your thread, right? Because you have 2 thread spools. And then you're basically just threading your machine as you would with a single thread, but you're doing it twice. Mm-hmm. So you've got your threads going through the same path as, you know, they always would. And then you're just threading 1 into one side of the twin needle and 1 into the other side of the twin needle. Sorry, that's a tongue twister.
And twin needles can come in woven and ballpoint as well.
Great.
So you want to make sure that you're getting the right twin needle. There's also denim twin needles. Someone suggested that in a previous episode as an application, and I looked into it, and you can get specific denim twin needles. So they come in all different sizes and they come in different applications. So make sure that you're getting a ballpoint twin needle for your knits.
Yes. And always test on a scrap piece of fabric first, especially if you're experimenting with a twin needle, which is kind of like a new technique. Grab a scrap, do a bunch of tests, figure out what settings are going to work best, because you might need to tinker a little bit with your machine to get it to look right.
Mm-hmm. And it may seem obvious, but when you're doing a test, you want to make sure you're folding your fabric so that you're doing a test on 2 layers, because that's going to be the application that you're going to be using. Like if you're sewing a seam or you're doing a hem, there's going to be 2 layers of fabric, not just 1. And that does affect the tension of the machine. So if you're testing out your stitches, fold your fabric and do it on 2 layers.
Great tip.
Thank you. Just thought of that right here, right now.
There you go.
Okay, what about machines? We said you don't need a special machine, but what do you need?
So I would say you want to use a machine that can do a zigzag stitch. That would probably be the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. You can use a machine that only does straight stitch if you're working with a much looser silhouette. So it's something that's not going to be stretched out too much. You're using a knit fabric, but it's not actually going to be stretching over your body. Then you can probably get away with just a regular straight stitch. But generally speaking, we want to use a zigzag stitch so that you're allowing your stitch line to stretch a little bit as it moves over your body.
Exactly. And the other thing that you can do optionally is use your serger or your overlocker to finish your seams. You can even sew your knit garment completely on your serger or overlocker. I mean, in a lot of cases, that's all you're going to need. You're not even going to need your sewing machine. So once you get to know knits and once you, you know, acquire a serger, if you're thinking about getting one, then you can move to just completely sewing it on there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And lastly, the machine that we want, the machine that we wish we had.
A cover stitch.
A cover stitch. A cover stitch machine is kind of similar to a serger or an overlocker, but it doesn't cut as it sews. So you can actually run fabric through and it's not going to chop off the edge. And it's going to give you that beautiful finish that we were talking about with the 2 lines of stitching on top and the serger or overlocker-esque kind of stitch underneath.
Yeah.
And that's the finish that you're going to see on ready-to-wear knits. So if you have a t-shirt, if you're wearing one, or you are in your house, you can go look in your closet and check them out. You know, they're going to have that cover stitch finish on the hems.
Yep. I want one so bad, Helen.
Me too.
When we got to get on do that. It?
We should do it.
We should just do it.
Yeah, why not? We could count it as research.
All right. And one thing we do want to mention is that, yes, you are supposed to get stretch needles or ballpoint jersey needles for your serger, overlock, or cover stitch machine. Mm-hmm. It is very important.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's very important.
I mean, I feel it's very important. I was shocked when you told me that you didn't have ballpoint needles on your serger.
I just honestly, for some reason, had never considered it and assumed that because it was a serger that it had come with ballpoint needles, because I was like, sergers mm-hmm. are for knits. But I'm using it for my wovens as well. So I think it must have a universal needle, which now we've both learned is actually for yep. both. And it seems to work fine. So I think if you're not experiencing any issues,
yeah.
skip stitches or anything like that, then, you know, it's probably fine. You probably don't necessarily need the ballpoint needle, but they do make ballpoint needles for sergers or overlockers if you want to get specific.
Curveball. When you go and buy needles for your overlock or serger, sometimes you can actually get like overlock needles, like they're labeled overlock or serger.
Oh.
Are those ballpoint?
Hit us up.
I'm gonna regret asking this. We're gonna get like 20 emails it's of perfect. People being like, duh. But yeah, I don't know. Are those ballpoint or are they not ballpoint?
I don't know.
We could probably Google it, but we're busy.
But we're busy. Okay. The other thing that to consider in the realm of sewing machines is the feet that you're using. So first off, if you're just doing a zigzag stitch on your machine, you want to have a foot that's going to accommodate that. So make sure that you have a foot that has a wide enough hole that the needle can go back and forth. Another kind of foot that you could consider getting is a walking foot. This is something that quilters use, and it lifts up the presser foot of the machine as it sews, and it feeds the fabric through more evenly. And this is going to stop you from getting those waves in your fabric. Sometimes when you're sewing with knits, it can get stretched out and get wavy on the end, and a walking foot can really help to prevent that.
Yeah, one thing the walking foot also helps is that, you know, when you're sewing knits, sometimes the feed dogs will pull the bottom layer of the knit through faster than the top layer, or vice versa. So you'll get, you know, you'll end up with at the end of your knits, one piece is longer than the other because it's stretched out more as you've sewn it. So walking foots are going to help to avoid that. Another thing that can help with that is if you have control over your presser foot pressure. We've mentioned this before on the show. Presser foot pressure.
Presser foot pressure.
But this is a really great tool if you can relieve that pressure a little bit. So lift up your foot so that it's not squishing down quite so much on the fabric as you're sewing. That will help with the fabric not stretching out, not waving, and not feeding unevenly through your machine as you're sewing.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I encountered in the class is I was describing this to a student, and I was like, you know, the dogs sometimes feed it through a little bit faster. And my friend was looking at me like I was an insane person because she didn't know what I was talking about, the dogs. So if you've never heard of the term feed dogs, or just dogs as I call them for short, but they're those little metal spiky things right underneath your foot that actually like push the fabric along under your sewing machine. Mm-hmm. They're called feed dogs, which is an adorable name.
Yep. Not to be confused with dogs on a pattern, which refers to direction of greatest stretch. I mean, I'm just putting it out there.
Okay, I should call them by their full name. The feed dogs.
The feed dogs, yeah.
Yeah, those hungry, hungry feed dogs. All right, and remember, if you're buying feet for your machine, you can't just buy any foot off any website or any garage sale or anything like that. You need to get the foot that's going to work for your machine.
The garage sale.
I mean, you see feet all the time. I see them at like thrift stores. Yeah, garage sales. People have like random sewing machine feet. Some, you know, you might think you're getting a really good deal on a walking foot, but you need a walking foot specific to your machine. Just keep that in mind when you're shopping for feet.
Okay, good point. All right, pins. Let's talk about pins.
So ballpoint pins are a thing.
Yeah.
I don't have them.
I actually own some ballpoint pins, but I never use them.
Why? Because it's like extra work to get them out.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I have my pin, my like magnetic pin cushion. And then if I have to get out different pins, I don't want them to mix up.
Yeah.
I just think it's easier. I mean, for me, I'm kind of meh about ballpoint pins. I'm sure some people swear by them. If you do, send us an email. I want to know why you love them so much. But if you look at the actual thickness of a pin, it's so thin. It's so much smaller than your sewing machine needle. So I don't think you have to worry as much about a pin ripping a hole in your fabric.
Yeah.
I've never had that happen. Yeah. So as long as you're not using some like big honking pins, you know, use your like normal sort of fine pins that you would use in a regular mid lightweight fabric, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
Don't complicate your life.
Maybe if you're using like a really beautiful silk jersey or something.
Right.
Special.
Yeah. I mean, there's a time and place for those, you know, going a little bit extra above and beyond with your techniques and your tools. But I think if you're just sewing yourself like a t-shirt, I don't know.
Regular pins would be fine.
Yeah.
I agree. Something else you might encounter when you're sewing with knits is clear elastic. And this is something that we put in the shoulders of our garments to stabilize them because they can get stretched out, especially if you're hanging them on hangers to dry or just through everyday wear, they can easily get stretched out. So it's important to reinforce that shoulder seam, and clear elastic is an excellent thing to use for that application. Another thing that you can use if you don't have clear elastic on hand or you can't find any is just to use a little bit of stretchy interfacing, or even a strip of power mesh or power net would work. I mean, you can use lots of different things. It's just the idea of reinforcing that shoulder seam.
Yeah, I've even seen people use like non-stretch, like twill tape like the selvage of a fabric or something like that. It doesn't necessarily need to stretch depending on the fabric that you're using and like the style of the garment, just as long as you're stabilizing that shoulder seam.
Yeah.
It is important.
And lastly, we want to talk about fusible hemming tape. This can be a lifesaver, especially if you're newer to sewing with knits. It basically allows you to fold up the edge of your fabric, the hem, and fuse it in place. It has sticky on both sides. So you put it down and then you fold it up and you fuse your fabric to your fabric to create your hem before you go and sew it. And that's going to stop you again from getting those waves in your fabric or encountering those issues when you're feeding it through. And it's also just going to help you get like a nice clean press line before you go to the machine, because some knits don't press super well.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one that washes away or not?
Yes, yeah. It washes away. It's similar to Wonder Tape, but it's typically a little bit thicker. Mm. So you can get a bit of a thicker hem.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about fabric now? Because I'm like ready to talk about fabric.
Okay. I'm ready to talk about fabric too. And I want you to give our listeners a little sneak peek of our Fabrics 101 episode where you talked about what a fabric's composed of.
Yeah, so we get real deep into this in Fabrics 101. But basically, you want to keep in mind when you're looking at fabrics, considering fabrics, that there are two components to every fabric. There's the fiber and there's the weave. So I always use this analogy. The fiber is like the ingredients and the weave is like the recipe. So what is in the fabric is the fiber. So that could be cotton, that could be linen, that could be hemp, it could be bamboo. So that's like what is making up the fabric. The weave is how it comes together. So those threads need to be woven or knitted together in a certain way so you can have different types of weaves. But basically, you want to consider those two components when you're looking at fabrics. So today we're going to be talking about knit fabrics. And knit fabrics are knitted just like if you're knitting with yarn, right? So the fabric is made of interlocking loops. In contrast, woven fabrics, which we're not going to be talking about today, but I'll tell you what they are woven on a loom. So there are vertical and horizontal threads. The vertical ones are the warp and the horizontal ones are the weft, and they sort of weave over and under in different ways to create the fabric.
Mm-hmm. I always think of it like weaving a basket or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now that I've been knitting more, it starts to make more sense. Like actually taking up that hobby, knitting things together, looking at my fabric, you can see the tiny, tiny, tiny little knitted stitches. It's exactly the same thing, just on a really, really small scale.
Yeah. They're using these giant machines to make these tiny little knitted fabrics.
Okay. What about the different types of knit? There are a lot out there. I actually learned quite a bit in researching this about knits, some things I didn't know. So I'm excited to share. First, we have jersey, the giant section of jersey.
Yes, jersey will probably be the most common type of knit that you're going to come across. It's the knits that you're going to want to use to make yourself t-shirts and leggings. It's just a basic knitted fabric. So jersey can also be referred to as single knit or just knit. Mm-hmm. So if you have like a cotton knit, it's probably a jersey. And those can have all different contents. So you can come across cotton jersey, rayon jersey, bamboo jersey. You may also run into modal, tencel, linen, hemp, silk, or any combination of those knits. Right now, one of my favorite knits that we have in the shop is a tencel organic cotton knit. It's blended with spandex. It's amazingly soft. It's eco-friendly. I just love it, love it, love it. So there are all different kinds of knits out there, and there's always new ones coming out. So it's really exciting to see what's out there and what's popular in the indie community at any given moment.
Yeah, and different jersey knits are good for different applications. I always like to think about the weight of a garment, because because like that bamboo jersey that you sell is so beautiful and I love it for t-shirts and stuff. But if you make a whole dress out of it, that's actually quite heavy. It's a heavier knit, right? Versus that linen and polyester blend knit you have in your shop that's really light and would make an excellent dress. I mean, you just have to consider all of these different applications.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really great point.
And for all you knitters out there, jersey or just like this basic knit jersey fabric is just stockinette stitch. So it's just all the knits are on one side, all the purls are on the other side, and that's a stockinette stitch in knitting. So that's why the edges of jersey tends to curl a lot, just like if you made a stockinette scarf, it would curl on the end.
Oh, this is so interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool analogy, or not really an analogy, I guess. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about is merino jersey, because you see this all over the sewing world. Everyone loves merino jersey. So what is so great about merino?
So merino wool is a type of material that comes from merino sheep, and it's renowned for its exceptional properties. Among these properties are its softness, its shine, its breathability. It makes excellent sportswear. It is super lovely to wear. And I think that if you have never tried sewing with a merino knit or wearing a merino knit, splurge and just try it once. You got to just try it once.
This is one area where you can actually make a merino t-shirt for cheaper than it is to buy it from, you know, like MEC or some kind of sportswear company, right? Totally. Because it is quite pricey. So you can make your own merino sportswear for cheaper than you can buy it. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about the giant section of the sewing store that's always full of fleece?
My favorite place.
It's very soft. I want to go in there and like crawl in amongst the bolts.
Yeah, it is very soft. I mean, fleece is generally a polyester napped fabric. So if you go to the store and you see those like brightly colored sort of fuzzy fleeces, that's going to be a polyester napped fabric. And napping is the process of brushing and fluffing up the fibers on the surface of the fabric so you can have it napped on one side, on both sides. It's basically just brushing the fabric, which makes it nice and fluffy and soft and wonderful against the skin.
So you can have fabrics that are flat on one side and napped or fleeced on the other, that they've been brushed on one side. Like, you know, the inside of your sweatpants might be soft and the outside might be smooth.
Yeah. And one interesting thing is that in the industry, what I found is that a lot of people referred to French terry as French fleece as well. So the French in there is what's making it more of a terry, which means that the back is like a looped back and it's not brushed, it's not fuzzy. So if you hear the term French terry or French fleece, that's what that means. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So it's got these loops on the back.
And if you look closely at it, you can see the little tiny loops.
Yeah. And it creates these really nice soft piles. One of my favorite fabrics is like a bamboo cotton terry for Hudson pants or any kind of sweatpants that you want to make. It makes for like a really nice, soft, cozy knit without having too much warmth from like a brushed fleece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So you might also come across knits that are called lycra or just spandex, and that is going to be generally used for swimwear, dancewear, sometimes also athletic wear.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier that jerseys can be blended with lycra and spandex. So that's sort of like you were talking about the ingredients for the fabric, and you have a blend. You have a few different ingredients working together, and not every knit fabric has spandex in it because the fibers are knitted together. There's a little bit of stretch that happens just from the way that it's been woven. But if you add some spandex or some elastane, as it's called in other parts of the world, that gives it even more stretch.
Yeah. So that's actually called mechanical stretch, right? Because it is woven in, it's going to stretch no matter what. But the spandex is what's going to give the knit really good recovery. Oh. So the more spandex that's in a knit, the more it's going to bounce back. When you don't have spandex, it's not going to bounce back as much.
Right.
So when I sell fabrics in the shop that don't have spandex in them, I usually don't recommend making leggings or
a bodysuit
out of it. Exactly. Because it's either not going to stretch enough, or if it does stretch enough, it's not going to bounce back.
Right.
And you're going to end up with those saggy knees or, just like not having it fit the way that you want it to, not holding its shape. So spandex is really great for allowing knits to hold their shape.
The other fabric that I see all the time is ITY knits.
Yes.
It's mentioned a lot in the sewing community, and I don't think that everybody knows what that means. So ITY stands for interlock twist yarn. So it's a method of putting a twist in the yarn for knit fabrics when they're actually knitting them together, and it results in a more natural elasticity and a soft feel inside and out. Again, it's similar to, if you're a knitter, you're going to know about twisting the stitches when you're knitting, and that gives you a little bit of a different feel in your project. And it's the same with these ITY knits, and it makes it softer. I mean, they're so soft.
Yeah, they're soft and they're slinky too, right? Mm-hmm. ITY knits tend to have a, even though they're really nice and soft and they're so nice against the skin, they have almost a cool hand feel. I don't know if you're familiar with like referring to like the hand of fabric as like cool or warm. So something that's brushed or something that's, it could be the way that the fabric's woven or the fiber, it'll give like a warm hand feel when you touch it.
Oh.
ITY tends to have a cooler hand feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you can also find ITYs that have been brushed. So if you get a brushed ITY, it's going to have a little bit of a softer, warmer hand feel. All right. How about Ponte or Ponte di Roma or Ponte di Roma? I don't know. How
yeah, there say you it. Go.
PDR.
I was hoping you were going to say it properly.
Ponte di Roma. No, that's totally not how you say it.
I just call it Ponte.
Yeah, or Pont.
Pont. Oh, or like, man. Scuba knits.
Or scuba knits. Yeah, yeah, those two are very, very similar. So those are also referred to as double knits or interlock knits. They're thicker. They don't necessarily stretch as much, but they usually have really good recovery. They're not going to curl along the edges when you cut them. They lay nice and flat, which is really nice.
Yeah. And the reason they don't curl is because it's actually two layers of knit up against each other. I'm going to keep coming back to my knitting analogy because I know a lot of you out there knit. And it's interesting to think about knitting a piece of stockinette and then folding it or putting two pieces right next to each other. And that stabilizes it. And so it doesn't curl anymore. And that's what's happening with these double knits, these pontes or these scubas.
Yeah. And obviously they're not like knitting two layers of fabric and then just like folding them together. Yeah. Like it's bonded together in the process. So they have these machines that are doing this double knit and it's all done at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
And one of the best benefits of that is that there may not be a right or a wrong side. If there's nothing printed on the fabric, then you probably can just use either side of a ponte or a scuba.
Yeah. And sometimes you'll have actual double faced ones. So one side will have a print or one side will be a different color than the other. So it's really fun to play with color blocking with those types of fabrics. And another thing is that pontes tend to be quite sturdy. So you can use a ponte often for a woven pattern because it's going to act a lot like a woven, even though it's got that stretch and recovery, it's got that stability and that sturdiness that you can use it for a woven garment or a woven pattern.
It holds its shape so well too. I'm thinking of the Closet Case Patterns Ebony Tee. Looks so great in a nice jersey, but then Heather made this version in a, like a floral scuba, and it really held its shape around the bottom because it's like it's got that swing tee kind of look to it. And so you can really have a lot of fun with these fabrics and getting them to hold that beautiful shape.
Yeah, it almost dramatizes the lines and the silhouettes of a garment, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah. And another pattern that uses Ponte that I really like is the Morris Blazer from Grainline Studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, there aren't that many patterns out there that are like Ponte specific. I think Tilly has a dress. Mm-hmm. There's a skirt. We're going to talk about patterns later. I shouldn't even get into it. Never mind. Hold that thought. Patterns later.
It is a fun thing to experiment with, though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, so the next section is sweater knits. Sweater knits are perfect for Hella's new pattern, Elliot.
Oh my gosh. I have so many sweater knits in my stash. You always have such great sweater knits in your shop. And it's one of my favorite fabrics to pick up in the store because you just never know when you're going to find a really good one. And when you do, I like to grab onto it because they come in so many different shapes and sizes and weaves. And there's a huge variety of fabrics in this category of sweater knits. And so that's a really good thing to keep in mind when you're shopping online. If something's labeled sweater knit, it could mean it's light, it could mean it's heavy, it could mean it's more open weave, or it could be a tighter weave. There's just a lot of variety here, and that can be a little bit challenging when you're shopping. But once you've worked with a few sweater knits, you're going to learn what you like.
Yeah. So we feel like what makes a sweater knit is that you can see the stitches more. So they're a little bit more prominent. It feels a little bit chunkier, maybe a little bit thicker. Generally, you're going to look at it and think, this is a fabric I want to use to make myself like a sweater, right? Yeah,
exactly. It's not different from a jersey in the construction method. It's just that it's more sweater-like. Yeah. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. And that also means that the fabric itself could unravel more easily, right? If the stitches are larger, if the knitting is a larger scale, then it's going to unravel quicker or more easily.
Exactly. Yeah. You can get stretched out necklines and stuff more easily. So you have to keep that in mind when you're sewing with sweater knits. But in general, they're very easy to sew. They're pretty much as easy to sew as a jersey. So you can make yourself, you know, an Elliott sweater or a Blackwood cardigan, for example, after you've made a t-shirt or even as your first sewing project. I mean, Elliott is just a t-shirt with a turtleneck on top.
Mm-hmm. Similarly, we have rib knits. A lot of rib knits could also be sweater knits. So there's a little bit of a crossover there. But rib knits are knits where the ribs are visible. So you're having a visible vertical line in the fabric.
And that vertical line is caused by knitting and then purling, right? That just like knitting. Are you sick of this yet? Just like in knitting. If you knit and then purl and then knit and then purl, you're going to get this ribbed texture. And that, as we know, for like the brim of a hat or the edge of a cuff or something, it stretches more than a stockinette stitch. And that's why rib knits are so stretchy.
So rib knits don't usually curl, which is really nice. It makes them really easy to work with. And often they're used for cuffs on sweaters, but we're kind of seeing them everywhere right now.
Oh yeah. Rib knit t-shirts are super in right now. I'm seeing them all over the place and a lot of rib knits in fabric shops. And I'm just really excited. I love it as a fabric to work with. It's really fun.
Yeah. I love rib knits too. And I am seeing them popping up around everywhere. And not to go back to my store, but we have an amazing rib knit right now. It's called a micro rib knit. It's a rayon spandex blend, and it is honestly one of the softest fabrics I have ever touched in my life. Laura made herself a t-shirt out of it, and she is obsessed with it. She wears it all the time, and it's so cozy and so soft. And I mean, rib knits are really great.
They're really fun. Yeah. And they come in lots of different weights. You can get those micro ones like you're talking about that are really slinky and great for t-shirts. Or you can get super like structured, beefy ones that are great for body suits or bodycon dresses. They often have spandex in them, so they've got really nice recovery. And yeah, you can get them for all different kinds of applications. Mm-hmm. Sweater rib knits even.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely, sweater rib knits.
All right. And then you also are definitely going to find novelty knits out there. So something like a quilted knit or a velvet or a lace. There's all types of novelty knits. And those are also really fun to work with, especially if you're making like a special project.
Yeah. As long as it meets like the stretch requirements, you can experiment with these different fabrics. You can even get like stretchy sequin fabric. I mean, it's really endless because, as we said before, it's all about that weave. If it's been knitted together, it's a knit. So they can come in so many different types.
Absolutely.
This episode is sponsored by Spoonflower. Do you have a collection of fabric just waiting for the perfect project? Are you saving leftover scraps of fabric that you can't bear to part with? The new Spoonflower Quick Sew Project Book was created with you in mind.
Featuring 30 plus DIYs organized by the size of fabric needed, from swatches and fat quarters to 1 yard and multi-yard projects, this book will be your new go-to resource for unique projects for your home, your wardrobe, and your kids. There's something for every fabric lover. Now available at spoonflower.com.
Spoonflower lets you create custom printed fabric for your next project. There are no minimums, so you can order a swatch for just $5. Shop from over 750,000 designs and support their worldwide network of independent designers, or sell your own designs and earn up to 15% commission on every sale. It's easy to create one-of-a-kind garments with Spoonflower.
They offer over 20 different types of fabric, so you can find just the right fabric for every project. Plus gift wrap and wallpaper, including their fan favorite peel and stick wallpaper that's removable and repositionable. Helen, I've been looking at these for the office and I cannot wait to try them out.
And you get to design your own print too.
I know, it's going to be so cute.
Love to Sew listeners can get 15% off their next Spoonflower order. Go to try.spoonflower.com/love to sew and enter your email address to receive your coupon code. That's try.spoonflower.com/love to sew.
All All right. So we wanted to talk about some terms that might come up when you're working with knits. The first one is recovery. I touched on this a little bit earlier, but recovery is how the fabric bounces back. So if it has good recovery, then it bounces right back and you don't really see where you tried to stretch out the fabric. But if it doesn't have good recovery, then usually that's because there is not a lot of spandex in it or there's no spandex in it. And that means if you try to stretch the fabric with your hands, it's not going to bounce back, or it's not going to bounce back a lot.
Yeah. And you can test this if you're shopping in person in a fabric store. You can stretch out the fabric, you can rub it together, you can get a feel for it and see if it's going to be the right fit for your project.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you might come across is four-way stretch. So some patterns might require four-way stretch, or you might see on a website someone describing the fabric as stretching four ways. So that basically just means that it stretches in all directions. Some knits don't stretch vertically. They only stretch horizontally. So selvage to selvage. But it's important to keep that in mind because, for example, if you're making a pair of athletic leggings, you definitely want a four-way stretch or else they're just not going to fit right.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about telling the right side of a knit fabric? I feel like this can be a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
Hard to see.
Yeah. You might need to get out a magnifying glass if you're really confused or if you're really not sure. I've definitely been known to do that if you're working with a really fine knit. So a really slinky jersey, something that looks the same to the eye on the right or wrong side. Grab a magnifying glass or get in real close if you have good eyesight.
Yeah.
And you will see one side of the fabric is going to have little V's or little ribs, like fine ribs. So there's definitely going to be a clear right and wrong side on most jersey knit fabrics. The wrong side is going to look a little bit flatter and a little bit more matte often. And that's where you're going to get those purl stitches, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just like knitting.
The right side will be the knit stitch and the wrong side will be the purl stitch.
Yes. And it is, even if you can't tell the difference, like to the naked eye, have a really close look at your fabric, because sometimes if you're just like working with it and maybe it's not a super bright day out, you might not be able to tell the difference. And then if you just cut willy-nilly and don't really pay attention to right and wrong side, you might notice when you're wearing the garment afterwards that like your sleeves are looking a little bit more matte than the rest of the body or something. So really, if you're gonna disregard right and wrong side, make sure that your fabric does not have a clear right and wrong side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we, like we said, most jerseys do. So watch out for it with jerseys. The one kind of fabric that you don't need to be as careful with or likely won't have a right and wrong side is a double knit, like a ponte or a scuba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing that you wrote here, which is a really great point, is that the fabric, the edges or the cut edges will often curl towards the right side.
Yes.
So that's a good way to know.
Yeah. If you pull the edge and it starts curling in, the edge that it, or the side it curls towards is the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you said.
Okay. Helen, mm-hmm. Should you pre-wash your knits?
Yes. 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 Right?
Yes. But it's probably okay if you don't.
Oh, I hate giving bad advice on the podcast. We've both been there. We have made things without pre-washing our knits. Mm-hmm. They tend to not shrink as much as woven fabrics. So I think you can get away with not pre-washing your knits, but only in a pinch, you guys. Like, try to pre-wash your fabric always. It's always a good idea to pre-wash your fabric.
Yeah. It's interesting because, generally, I haven't had any issues with knits shrinking, but sometimes you'll come across like a bamboo jersey or a rayon jersey that really does shrink, especially lengthwise. Like, mm-hmm. It might not shrink in the width of the body, but the hem is just going to end up being way shorter after you wash it. So, I mean, I always recommend pre-washing. I'm not saying I always follow my own advice, but try to pre-wash your fabric.
And it doesn't fray, so you can throw it in the wash and it's not going to get all tangled up in there.
Yeah.
All right. What about knit stretch percentage? Most knit patterns will have a stretch percentage requirement. For example, the Blackwood has a 40% widthwise and 20% lengthwise. And those percentages are there for a reason. They're actually really important when you're choosing a fabric, and it can be tempting to disregard them. But you will be more successful with the garment if you choose a fabric that meets those stretch requirements.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. I actually last month made a pair of Avery leggings that I was so excited about. And I was actually trying out a fabric that I was thinking about carrying in the shop. It's a really beautiful athletic knit. And when I was testing the stretch percentage, it was right on the edge. There was a little bit short in terms of stretch percentage. It wasn't quite as stretchy as you recommend for the pattern. And I went against my gut and I was like, I'm going to make the Averys. I really want a pair of Averys. Like, how bad can it be? And honestly, like, I couldn't pull them up. I had to give them away because they were too tight. So yeah. It's really important to pay attention to stretch percentage. Let's talk about what that is exactly and how you can check that on a fabric.
Okay. So what you want to do is you want to grab a 10-inch piece of your fabric. And we're going to do this in both directions because we want to stretch both directions so we can see the lengthwise and the widthwise stretch percentage. So grab a 10-inch chunk of your fabric and then stretch it out. And you want to pull it until it feels fully stretched, but not strained. So you're not pulling it into oblivion. You're just stretching it until it feels like it's been fully stretched out. So if that 10-inch chunk of fabric becomes 12 inches, then you know that it has a 20% stretch. And there's lots of articles online that will help you calculate stretch percentages. I am no math whiz, so I always have to like think it through in my head. But using that 10 inch is easy because then it makes it easier to calculate percentages. So, you know, if it stretches to 12 inches, it's 20%. If it stretches to 15 inches, it's 50%. And you can get a sense for the stretch percentage of the fabric doing that.
Yeah, I always love it when indie designers include like a little drawing in their instructions. So if you print it out, you can actually take your fabric, bring it right to the page, and it'll say, okay, if your fabric stretches from here to here, then you're good.
Yeah.
So it's actually like building in the stretch percentage test into the pattern itself. So that's a great tip. But I think, yeah, it's really important to check both the widthwise and the lengthwise stretch and check it against the pattern requirements.
Mm-hmm. And go with your gut or go.
Follow. Don't do what Caroline did.
Yeah. So now that we've got all of the necessary supplies, we've chosen a fabric. What about cutting out knit fabrics? Is there anything specific that we need to do differently?
Yeah. So this came up when we were at the workshop because I noticed that we were laying out our fabrics and there's only a limited amount of space on the table for each student. And it's really easy to let your fabric hang off the side of the table. But with knit fabrics, it's really important not to do that because your fabric is going to hang and it's going to stretch as it hangs. And as you're cutting out your pattern, it'll actually stretch out as you're cutting. So it could skew the pieces. So what I like to do is take the fabric that's hanging off the edge and just sort of like almost roll it up or just fold it up and just lay it on the edge of the table just so that it's not pulling off the edge.
And sometimes knit patterns will mark the direction of greatest stretch. This is the dogs that Caroline was referring to earlier. So a direction of greatest stretch or dogs as it's called. And in that is marked instead of the grain line. And it's important to note because the grain line and the dogs are often perpendicular. The direction of greatest stretch is typically going to be selvage to selvage. The grain line typically runs the other direction. So just make sure on the pattern that it actually says on that little line with the arrows, grain line, or if it says direction of greatest stretch or dogs, you need to be orienting your patterns accordingly.
Yeah, I find I come across the term dogs mostly with bra making patterns mm-hmm. or undie patterns. Yeah. That's usually where I see it come up.
Yeah, me too.
And it can be easier to cut knits flat. That's going to make sure that you have them straight. There are no lumps and bumps. It can be a little bit difficult to get everything nice and smooth when you're cutting on fold with knits. So if you're having issues with that, try cutting flat. Mm-hmm. Usually there aren't that many pieces, so it shouldn't take you that long.
Exactly. Yeah. And speaking of cutting on the fold, a lot of knit patterns will have, you know, the front and back piece, like on a t-shirt, for example, both those pieces are going to be cut on the fold. And you can save fabric by, instead of putting selvage to selvage and just having the fold run down the middle, you put selvage to selvage and sort of fold it like a book. I'm trying to think of a good analogy for this.
Yeah, you're basically folding both ends towards the center, mm-hmm. right? Or both selvages towards the center so that you have your selvages meeting down the middle and you can cut two pieces on fold side by side. So you've got two folds in the fabric instead of just one along the edge.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's going to help you get those t-shirts and simpler patterns out of a smaller amount of fabric.
Yeah. And it's nice because knit fabrics tend to be wider in the grand scheme of fabrics. Most knits have a wider width, usually 56, 57, sometimes up to 60, 65 inches. So you can really get a lot out of just a meter of fabric, especially if you fold your selvages in towards the center. So you have two folds there. You can get a whole t-shirt out of like a meter.
One of my favorite scrap busting things to do is like make a t-shirt that has like different colored sleeves or like a different neck band or something like that. You can mix and match knits really easily and do some fun color blocking things.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
We're going to talk about different things, different ideas for knit projects, and then we're going to put a huge list of awesome indie patterns in the show notes, and you can find those at lovetosewpodcast.com. You can go and check out all of the knit patterns that we think are really fun, and we're going to group them into intermediate, beginner, so that you can find something that's going to work for you.
Yeah, but let's just give a general idea of the types of projects maybe a beginner would want to try out if they're just starting to sew with knits.
I mean, a t-shirt, as I said before, I think is an excellent place to start. Maybe a looser fitting t-shirt if you're concerned about fitting at all. There's lots of different There are lots of different t-shirts. Pretty much every designer has an awesome t-shirt in their arsenal, so you can choose the one that's going to work best for you.
Like the Mandy bow tee.
All right. And then a step up from a t-shirt would be like a turtleneck. Yeah. I mean, it's just a t-shirt with a wider band in the neck. The band might be a little bit shaped or something, give you a bit of a different experience. Yeah. A turtleneck's a great option.
Yeah. You can also try a tank top. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really nice beginner project as well. I would probably do t-shirt and then tank top. Mm-hmm. So you're experimenting with different techniques there.
And then leggings.
Yes. And then you have a whole knit wardrobe.
Secret pajamas.
Yeah, leggings are surprisingly fun and quick to sew because you just cut like three pieces for just a basic pair of leggings, like the Virginia leggings, which is mm-hmm. one of my favorites. It's just two leg pieces that, you know, you're cutting two layers and a waistband.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So really fast, really fun, really easy. Do it. Okay. And then there's also like easy dress patterns that you can try out there. Yeah, there's a few that we're going to suggest.
Lengthen t-shirts into dresses. Sometimes, you know, knit tee patterns come with a dress length. There's loads of them out there.
Oh, yeah. Great idea.
Just a t-shirt, but longer.
All right. How about advanced or maybe intermediate knit projects?
If you want to step up from a t-shirt, I think a really fun one is to make a pair of undies.
Yeah.
You get to work with knits, but you get that added challenge of working with elastic. And it's really not as hard as it might seem. So definitely go and try and make your own underwear. It's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Adding a ruffle is a great little intermediate thing that you can do. So you can find a pattern that has a ruffle, or you can just add a little ruffle to the bottom of your knit or to the sleeves.
Mm-hmm. Making a wrap, knit wrap dress is another great option. It's not super complicated, but it's a step up from just like a simple t-shirt knit dress.
Mm-hmm. Using fold over elastic is another technique that you might want to try out if you're wanting to up your sewing game with knits.
Mm-hmm. You could do that on like a cami.
Mm-hmm.
You can try a color blocked knit or a ruched knit, adding a little bit of gathering in a seam to give it that ruched look, or taking two different knit fabrics and color blocking them together.
Sweater knits, mm-hmm. they're a little bit more challenging to sew. I mean, I know some of them can be easy, but I also find some of them can be challenging. So if you are wanting to experiment, trying out a sweater knit might be a good way to challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm. I just thought of like a sweat pant, like the Hudson pant, where you actually do an elastic in a casing and you run a little cord through it. Ooh, that's like a nice way to step it up with knits.
Mm-hmm. Body suits.
Mm-hmm.
You've body got snaps suits. To deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. Fitting through the crotch area.
Yeah. And then you can try out more advanced leggings, like the Avery leggings, a little bit more of an athletic wear vibe. You've got mm-hmm. more pieces. You've got elastic inserted into the seam and the waistband.
Yeah.
So little ways that you can experiment and challenge yourself there too.
And if you're into that sportswear kind of vibe, you can try sports bras, other kind of athletic wear. We did a whole episode with Johanna Liu about active wear. It was so inspiring. So go back and check that out if you're interested in sewing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. There's also hoodies. Mm-hmm. Hoodies are fun because you've got a zipper, usually some kangaroo pockets.
Yeah. Any kind of pattern that has some cool seaming details. I was thinking of that Deer and Doe broom. I don't know how to say it. Brume?
Brume? I don't know.
Brume skirt. It has like these cool swoopy seams, or like the Victory Patterns Jackie dress has these amazing neck seams.
Right.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting into specifics, but I really love those
two.
No
pattern talk. And of course, you can also try out bras. There are some great patterns out there for soft bras that utilize knits. So we'll definitely put some suggestions in the show notes.
Yes. Okay. We've talked so much about knits. I'm sorry, guys. This is going to be a bit of a long episode. We're going to get through it.
Knits.
What about fitting knits? Fitting is like this huge issue with woven patterns. What about fitting with knits?
This is one of the things that I love about knits is that there's less fitting involved.
Yeah.
Right?
It stretches over your body.
They're more forgiving. It's easier to fit knits. You're going to have less issues. So this is why I feel like if you're a beginner, don't fear knits, because it might be challenging in some areas, but then you're going to kind of avoid that challenge of fitting if that's something that you're finding challenging right now.
Yes. That said, most of the same ways that you alter woven patterns to fit your body, you can do those same adjustments on knits. You can adjust for a wide or a narrow shoulder. You can adjust for a full bicep. You can do a sway back. You can do a full bust adjustment. You know, all of these things can still apply. You just might not necessarily need them depending on the stretch of your fabric.
Mm-hmm. And if you are wondering if a knit is fitting you well or if a knit garment is fitting you well, there are some things that you can look for. So if the fabric is overstretched, you're going to see horizontal lines from that. So that will show up if you're kind of like looking at a picture or looking at yourself in the mirror. It might not be obvious right off the bat. Another thing that I've seen people agonize over is drag lines.
Yeah.
So let's be real. You're going to have drag lines in knits. You're going to have wrinkles. You're going to have folds.
I'm looking at your t-shirt as you're talking.
I know.
It's like covered in wrinkles.
Right? And that's fine. Like if you can't agonize over all of those tiny details, because with knits, you don't have darts. You don't have princess seams generally. Mm-hmm. So there are less opportunities to fit.
Yes.
So drag lines are normal, but if it's, you know, really intense and it's really bothering you, of course you can try to make adjustments to try to make it a little bit better.
Yeah, you have to accept it. I mean, look at anyone on the street wearing a t-shirt. There's going to be wrinkles, right? There's going to be pooling and wrinkles and little things. And it looks totally normal. It's only when you start to really overanalyze these things that you notice them so much. And it can be agonizing, especially in that fitting process. So just try and keep that in mind when you're sewing with knits. And for the full bust adjustment, I did an article about how to do an FBA on a knit garment without any darts, like the Blackwood, for example. And that's on my blog. So we'll link that in the show notes. I think it's a good little tutorial for those knit garments. It's just a quick, easy fix.
Awesome. Can we get to sewing?
The actual sewing of the knits?
This episode is called Sewing with Knits after all.
Okay. First things first, I want you to check your throat plate. Caroline, do you know what that is?
It's the plate on underneath your
You got this. You got it.
So much pressure. The throat plate is usually the plate that kind of covers your bobbin, or it'll be, you're better at explaining things, Helen.
I don't know if there's an official explanation for it. I always think of it as being the thing that sits on top of the feed dogs or around the feed dogs. Yes. And it's usually a little piece of metal that you can take off. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can even turn it around. It might have a straight stitch side and a zigzag stitch side. Ooh. So see if your machine has that option and you want to be on the zigzag stitch side, because the straight stitch side will just have a little hole. And so if your needle starts going to the left or right of that hole, it's just going to hit metal and it's going to break.
Yeah.
So check your throat plate. Next, for those sweater knits that are the more open weave, those ones that you notice do fray a little bit, you might want to consider hand basting just a line of stay stitching on your necklines, because if that neckline gets really, really stretched out in the process of, you know, putting on the sleeve before you get to sewing that neckband, it's going to be an issue. So I would recommend, you know, if you see that starting to happen, or if you think the fabric's going to be prone to that, just doing a little, I like to do the hand basting here because it's so easy to pull out. You don't want to torture your fabric. So just a little hand basting here could save you.
All right. So when you're actually sewing, you want to use a zigzag stitch or another stretch stitch if you're using your regular domestic sewing machine. Otherwise, your seams are going to pop. If you're just using a straight stitch, when you try to stretch it out, those threads are just going to break, right? But if you have a zigzag stitch, there's a little bit more wiggle room there so that when you stretch it out, those zigzags become straight and you've got that sort of space to move around and stretch.
Yeah. And it might seem weird when you initially start sewing with knits, that zigzag, when you pull the seam, you might see a little bit more of the thread or more than you're used to seeing with your wovens. It's fine. Like even on your t-shirt, you might pull it apart and you're going to see that kind of thing. It's really not noticeable once you've pressed it and everything. But if you do need to press your seam open, or if you're working with a more stable knit like a ponte, you might want to press the seams open to reduce the bulk. And in that case, if it's not something that needs to stretch a whole lot and it's more sturdy knit, you can use other kinds of stretch stitches, like reinforced straight stitch. That's the stitch that kind of goes like two forward and one back, and then two forward and one back. So it gives you a little bit of that stretch, and you can still press the seams open nicely.
The triple stitch.
The triple stitch.
I love that stitch.
And there are other stitches too. Your machine might have a bunch of different stitches that work with knits. I have this really cool little lattice stitch that I like to use on my bras because it's really pretty, and it's made up of a series of zigzags, so it does stretch quite a bit. So just try out some of your other machine stitches.
The lightning bolt. I love the lightning bolt.
The little lightning bolt is cute. Mm-hmm. Harry Potter stitch. And the other thing to consider with these stitches, especially the zigzag stitch, is that the seam allowance markings on your machine are accurate to the needle when it's in the center position. So if the needle's moving back and forth, it's going to be just off that center position. So you may want to either measure out from that far left of your zigzag over to get a really accurate seam allowance and put a piece of tape on your machine, or you may want to just sort of be a little like just to the left of a 3/8 inch mark. You know, keep that in mind when you're sewing. Again, these are knits. They're very forgiving when it comes to fit. I don't think that 1/8 inch, not necessarily going to make a huge difference in a t-shirt, but it is something to keep in mind. Mm-hmm.
All right. Another thing to keep in mind is that knits are kind of grippy, which can work to our advantage because it might mean that you won't need to use as many pins or maybe no pins at all if you're feeling adventurous, because the knit fabric will just kind of hold itself together as you sew. And if it's like a short little seam, skip those pins.
Yeah, I don't use as many pins when I sew knits because the fabric does tend to stick together and it's easier to keep it together. It's not super slinky. I mean, there are slinky knits, but you know what we're saying.
Yeah, you got us.
And we always recommend that you do tests. We mentioned this earlier, and it's very true with knits too. Always try a scrap. Try sewing in both directions because you might have a different amount of stretch lengthwise and widthwise. You might want to use a different setting. Adjust your tension accordingly. And there's a few things that you kind of want to look for when you're doing your tests.
One exciting thing that we did in the class is that we did a whole test pocket for the Blackwood cardigan, which I think our students really, really loved because they had the chance to try out the sort of more challenging technique before doing it on the real garment. So if you're trying out sewing a pocket or if it's your first time doing a certain technique, don't be shy to just do the whole thing on a test piece just to test it out and make sure that your machine works well for that purpose.
Yeah, I think that was incredibly successful. Like, people could see their improvement from their test version to the final garment. That made me really happy.
Mm-hmm. It's like a trial run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you are seeing skipped stitches, we do have a few suggestions on ways that you can try to remedy that. Mm-hmm. So the first one, the thing that I always do first when I'm having skipped stitches is replace my needle. Make sure it's a ballpoint needle. Get yourself a fresh one because often those things can be fixed just from changing out your needle.
Yes. And the other thing you can try is sewing slower. We had a woman in our class who had she won't mind if I say this, a very cheap machine from Walmart, one of those like $100 sewing machines. And it's not great to sew on. And she was getting skipped stitches, but we realized that if she just slowed down, that it wasn't skipping as many stitches. So sometimes with those with those cheap machines, I feel bad saying anything bad about any machine.
I mean, yeah, I think you'll learn with your particular machine its quirks. Every machine has its quirks. There is definitely a time and a place for an inexpensive machine if you're a beginner and you're just starting out, or if you that's all you can afford, that's totally fine. It should not be a roadblock. You just have to figure out how to work with what you got.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I do when I'm having any kinds of issues with my machine, but especially skip stitches, is I give it a good clean and oil. So a lot of people don't oil their machines out there.
What?
I know this for a fact, but I think it's important to oil your machine every once in a while, especially if it's giving you problems. Sometimes all it needs is a little bit of lubrication and it'll remedy those issues. So if you don't know how to do that, you can Google it, look in your machine manual. Usually you can open up the throat plate, clean out all the dust from there, oil your bobbin, oil the top part. I don't know. There's all different things you can do. It depends on your machine.
Yeah. You'll find the spots to oil your machine in the manual for your machine. Don't go putting oil willy-nilly on your machine. Make sure you know where it's supposed to go.
Ooh, one more thing I wanted to mention about skipped stitches. When I am bra making or working with a lot of elastic, sometimes I get skipped stitches on my machine and I cannot figure out what the issue is, especially if it's like a more delicate fabric, like a lace or a power mesh or something like that. So Microtex needles might help. So if you're finding that your machine is skipping stitches, try using a Microtex needle. It's not a ballpoint needle, but it's a very, very fine needle. So it's not going to rip holes in your fabric. It's going to go right through. And that usually will resolve the skip stitches that nothing else will resolve.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll have to try that next time. Okay, the other thing you might see when you're doing your tests is you might see waves in your fabric or curls. We've talked about this a lot this episode, and there's some things you can do to get rid of those waves. Firstly, as you mentioned earlier, letting up on that pressure foot, presser foot pressure. I always get it mixed up. And that's just the amount of pressure going down onto that foot. And a lot of machines will have a little dial on the side or maybe a knob on the top. You might have to look around to try and find it. Your machine also might not have this option. Not all machines do. But if you can figure out how to let up on that, I find that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Also, don't pull the fabric when you're sewing. So it might be sort of instinctual to pull on the fabric as you're sewing from one end or the other. Try not to do that because that is definitely going to stretch it out as you sew and create those waves.
Mm-hmm. And you might need to adjust your tension on your machine just the same as you would with woven fabrics. You want to be doing a test, taking a look, seeing if any of that bobbin thread is poking up into the top or the top thread's poking out into the bottom, and adjust accordingly so that you're getting that nice even stitch.
Mm-hmm. So just like when you're cutting, you want to support the weight of your project when you're sewing. So don't let your maxi skirt hang off the edge of the table as you're sewing it. You want to just make sure that it's supportive, it's not stretching out, mm-hmm. and that's going to help you out a lot.
Yeah, just like if you were to pull the fabric through the machine, if it's pulling itself off the table, it's going to have the same result.
Mm-hmm. Steam is your friend.
Mm-hmm. And you do want to press your knits. I think this is maybe another one of those sewing with knits myths that you don't need to press. You actually do need to press. It's always important to press. I think it can make a big difference in the final finish of the garment, and it can also help you with those waves. Steam is definitely your friend here. One thing that we like to do is to just hover the iron about an inch or two off the garment or the project and just apply steam liberally. Just steam the out of it.
The bleep out of it.
Because it really does help. It lets the fabric just sort of shrink back into place mm-hmm. before you go pressing it. And that can help you get rid of some of those waves. Washing it and drying it can also help get rid of some of those waves. So, you know, those waves aren't necessarily permanent.
Abso-bleep-and-lutely.
And hemming.
Hemming. So we like to use a single fold hem with knits. I think that's going to give you the nicest finish. Mm-hmm. So I like using my twin needle when I'm finishing my hem. So I just do a single fold up and I use my twin needle. If I want to go real extra, I overlock my bottom edge and then I fold it up and do my twin needle. But you really don't have to, because knits don't fray. So you don't really need to finish the edges on the inside.
No, you don't. It does give it a nice look. I also use that technique where you serge the edge and then fold it up. And then I like to do a zigzag on top because mm-hmm. I don't know. I just like the zigzag better than the twin, but maybe I need to give the twin another chance.
Yeah. I like the zigzag too. I think when I'm like too lazy to get another needle spool of thread and change my needle, then I'll just do a zigzag. And honestly, after I'm finished and I'm wearing the garment, I never wish that I use the other type of, you know, finishing technique. So don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. And if your garment's really loose, you can get away with a really, really narrow or an almost straight zigzag stitch, maybe one of those forward and backward stitches if you want that straight look. If you've got like a swing tee or something where the hem's not going to be, you know, stretching over your body, you can get away with all sorts of other types mm-hmm. of hemming.
Absolutely. And twin needles can sometimes tunnel. So to fix this, Helen says you should loosen the bobbin screw tension.
I got a lot of the information for this episode from an article by Seamwork. And they said in that article that you should adjust your bobbin screw tension. There's a photo of it and everything.
Oh my gosh. Well, I believe you then. No, one thing I like to do if I'm getting tunneling is that wash away fusible web tape.
Oh yeah.
Because that's going to help to sort of stabilize your fabric and stop it from tunneling. So if the bobbin screw tension fiddliness doesn't work for you, then try that out and it might work.
Yeah.
All right. Can you leave a raw edge or hem within it? Helen, what do you think?
A raw edge? Not finishing it at all, you mean? That's insane. No, of course you can. I do it all the time. Me super too. Lazy. We've I make a t-shirt. There. You get all the way through making a t-shirt. You even hem the like arms.
And then
the,
you're like, sleeves. Yeah, we'll leave them.
You're like, well, the bottom doesn't really need to be hemmed, does it?
Yeah, especially I like the raw hem. Like if you're doing a swing dress,
yeah,
like the ebony tee or the paper cut suede. Is that for knits? The suede dress? It isn't.
I think you probably could, but it's not designed for it.
Yeah, though. But I just think that the raw hem, first of all, it's easier. Mm-hmm. If you get a really nice clean cut, it looks perfectly fine. And who has time to hem like 2 meters of fabric or whatever?
It's not really like that to me. The time is fine, but I think the curved cut of a knit, like for the ebony tee, for example, it hemming that can give you this kind of bulky,
yeah,
I don't know, it just looks really nice raw.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for a raw finish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lazy time and a place.
A no time and a place.
No time.
And I have no time.
And a place so to be.
Okay. Okay. Our last section of this episode is fun because we're going to talk about assessing your knit success.
I mean, if you sewed a knit thing, I think you were already very successful.
Pat yourself on the back. Give yourself a bear hug. Congratulate yourself. You sewed with knits. We're so proud.
And you want to keep in mind the 3-foot rule with knits. We did this in our class as well because the Blackwood has a patch pocket on it, and a patch pocket can be challenging to sew in a knit fabric. And so you really don't want to be all up on it looking at it from 6 inches away because no one's looking at your clothes that way. And ready-to-wear clothes do not look that good close up.
Totally. So if you hold it 3 feet away and it looks fine, then you're good.
Yeah, absolutely. And waves are normal in some cases. If you look at ready-to-wear sweatshirts or sweatpants, for example, and they have those rib knit cuffs, you're going to see waves around there. It's actually something that you can expect in that case.
Yeah, absolutely. Wrinkles and drag lines are inevitable. We talked about this earlier. These are knits. Knits have wrinkles. So just try not to overfit things. Mm-hmm. And don't, you know, think that you're a total failure because your knit garment has a bunch of drag lines in it.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And you can easily mend your knits. Stitches can pop over time. Zigzag stitches, if you don't have an overlocker, you're just doing a zigzag. I have done that before when I didn't have an overlocker or a serger. And sometimes those stitches can pop or the hems can come undone. And they're so easy to mend. So you just stick them back under your machine and you got a new t-shirt.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most important measures of success when sewing with knits is whether or not you wear the garment. And I'm going to tell you, 90% of the time, your knit garment's going to be wearable, whether it's janky or there's some weird stuff going on. The nice thing about knits is that they're so comfortable and you can just wear them around the house. You can wear them to bed. You can wear them when you're on the couch, when you're doing your Netflix and chill or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think you will be successful if you finish a knit garment and you wear it. And that's what's important.
Yeah. So we hope that you've enjoyed this episode about sewing with knits. They can be so much fun to make and they can be really, really satisfying. And if you're new to sewing, we want you to just go for it. And we're confident that you're going to find that sewing knits is easier than you think. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. Thank you to our sponsor, Spoonflower. Get 15% off your next Spoonflower order by going to try.spoonflower.com/love to sew.
We're recording today in sunny Vancouver, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you're loving the show and you want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to a bonus episode every month. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helenscloset.ca. Our show is produced by Sam Humphrey.
Thank you, Sam.
And thank you all so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Your poor face.
God, abuse. We got that on tape. Sam, she just threw a stress ball right at my face.
Can you check your messages after we're done?
Yes. Ow, I'm not giving that back to you.
Ow. Is that gonna be our blooper?
I don't like it when we fight.